Welcome to Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford, your partner in home improvement. Everyone has questions about their home. We've got the answers, and we have a few laughs along the way. Informative, entertaining, and sometimes off the wall. Home improvement has never been this much fun.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show, the right place to be for all the practical, most realistic, most current home improvement information you're going to find anywhere. Danny Lipford here, along with my buddy Joe Truini, and we got a lot of subjects that we're going to go over. Naturally, people are thinking about the colder weather ahead, some of the things that we want to talk about there. But Joe, there's always plenty to talk about here on Today's Homeowner Radio.
Oh, absolutely. We can tell that by all the emails and calls we're getting about fixing up their home or trying to stay warm, especially since the cost of heating your home has gone up quite a bit. But before we get started, I want to hear about your trip. I don't know if anybody realizes, but Danny is not coming to us from his normal studio. You want to share with everyone where you are right now?
Well, I tell you what, isn't it wonderful to be able to, I've been thinking about this for years, having my little radio pack, my little case,
right.
And I open it up, and here I am sitting in a room in beautiful Springdale, Utah. I've been through Arizona the last few days.
Isn't that sure where it is?
So that's the way vacation's supposed to be.
That's right. What day it is
and where it is or anything like that. But I have been looking forward to being able to rig all of this up and be able to continue providing that home improvement information. But Joe, you may hear a few creaks here and there.
Okay.
It's not my bones, though they are creaking after a torturous hike yesterday. My middle daughter's in town, and when she's in town, oh boy, where are we marching today, dear?
So right.
It's going great.
Well, I'm glad. Yeah, I'm glad the creaking is not you. It's the chair or whatever. But, I'm sure the listeners and I definitely appreciate you making the extra effort to get on air with us. Because it's always better, right, when there are two of us and we got all the connections working. Danny and I can see each other on a Zoom platform, kind of like a Zoom platform. So we're doing everything we can to make the show run smoothly. And here is Danny interrupting his vacation. So we really appreciate it.
Oh, no, always looking forward to it. Always, the emails keep coming in. The phone calls keep coming in. We appreciate that. And we would love for you to write us an email at any time by going to todayshomeowner.com/ask. Or if you'd like to pick up the phone and call us, we encourage you to do that as well. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The Today's Homeowner Hotline, 800-946-4420. You know, I can't help it, Joe, when we're out traveling to look at different ways things are built. And of course,
right. Almost
always the thing that decides that is, you know, soil conditions, the climate, how cold it gets, how hot it gets, you know, that type of thing.
And how much snow they get. Well,
yeah. So the roofs, I'm looking out a window now, beautiful mountains and all kinds of wonderful houses. And you think about when people build, a lot of these, of course, are vacation homes, and a lot of them are very, very modest. You think about that feeling when you maybe you visited a place, you swung through, you're going down the interstate, you need a gas, you get off, and all of a sudden you fall in love with the place. And you see that with homes all the time where people maybe buy that little vacation home, maybe they rent it out, later on they end up retiring there. That's a pretty cool part of our country to be able to do that very thing. And I see a lot of unique structures here, and certainly a lot of them with those roofs that will take all of the snow that they're getting. We actually got 3 inches of snow here yesterday. Some parts of the country are still nice and warm. Right where I'm at, I'm shivering cold.
back home in Mobile, Alabama, where Danny's from, I'm sure it's pretty toasty down there. But plus, what's better than seeing someplace that doesn't look like home? As much as I love living in Connecticut, I love traveling and just seeing someplace. And, you know, people are living all over this country and everyone seems to be happy. I had a good friend move to the small town where I live in Connecticut, in Roxbury. He was moving from a larger city, and he said, you know, what's it like living there and how do you like it? And I said, well, you have to live somewhere, right? And this place is as good as any.
Yeah.
I've lived in a lot of different places. I've loved them all. And I think what I've found is that people are pretty adaptable, right?
Yeah,
I mean, there are certain people who can never live in a city or can never live in the country, but I think most people are pretty adaptable. And no matter where you travel, you find really nice people. So something's going on. You know, I think it's that no matter where you call home, you know, it's home to you. And that's all that's really important.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. A lot of great people here. We did a lot of bicycle riding yesterday. We also, so my daughter says, I heard this great hike up at Sunrise Point in Bryce Canyon. And she says, I would really, I think we should do that. I said, okay, well, when are we leaving? What are we doing? It's Sunrise Point.
Yeah, take a guess.
Therefore, right. We will leave. We want to be at Sunset Point when the sun comes up. I go, okay, well, how bad is that? Well, they made a last-minute change and decided we were not going to do that because it was going to be a little icy. Well, we got there around 10.
Right.
And you could basically not even go up the trail.
Oh, wow.
Because it was so icy. So it took us a long time to slip and slide down this first part of the trail. And I could only imagine, had we shown up there 5 hours early, pitch dark, not having a clue where we were going.
Right.
Yeah, it would be infirmary time at this point. We would all be gathered around the hospital there evaluating all of our many broken bones and contusions. So we made a smart last-minute decision there, and I'm glad I didn't go up that slippery slope at dark and just to see a sunrise.
So. Yeah, no, because you'd go up with five or six people. You might only come down with three or four, so that would not be good. Especially hiking. I was going to say, like, wait, you're hiking it to get there at sunrise, which means you're hiking in the dark to get there.
Hit my point.
That could be dangerous. Yeah. Well, I've been out to that part of the country. I've done Bryce and Zion and of course the Grand Canyon. And again, if you've not been out there. And these are all three places that are relatively close to one another. You can see all three of them in 3 days, easy. Definitely worth it. You know, even if you just drive by, you don't have to hike them necessarily. Just drive by and, you know, walk around. I don't know if you've done the donkey ride through Bryce, but that's pretty spectacular too. If you've not done it, that's a great way to see the inside of Bryce, all the really amazing rock formations.
Well, that's what I was going to do, is ride the donkey in Bryce Canyon while I was doing the radio show.
Oh, that would have been great.
Yeah, well, I mean, I would have had to pull a generator behind me for power and then the sketchy Wi-Fi and then, you know, the clompity clomp of the hoof. So I decided to take it to try.
Would have made a great video seeing Dan.
Sure. Yeah. No doubt. We got some great videos and pictures and everything over. It's a great trip, especially when you can get together with most of my family's here. So it's pretty neat. Hey, want to mention a really cool email we got. You know, we get so many great emails, and I always encourage you, any kind of time you have a thought and so forth, share it with us. This came from Jerry in Indiana. Hey, a notice of sincere thanks to today's homeowner. I watched you on television for 17 plus years. Back in 2014, I had a stroke. But I'm still hanging in there. The thing that takes me the most time on my projects is finding my tools. Every day it's like an Easter egg hunt. Often I hear tips and I know that feeling exactly. But so sometimes I learn tips and techniques for unrelated projects. Chelsea helps me explain to my wife what the end result will look like. And on radio, Danny told me how to secure a gutter that a tap dancing goose had knocked loose. All you enrich my life with your program. Pretty cool there that Jerry is still doing well and has a fantastic sense of humor. And that's the kind of thing. If you have just any kind of thought like that, share it with us. You can call us at 800-946-4420, or you can send us that email by going to todayshomeowner.com. So we got some great listeners out there, Joe.
Not only great listener, but apparently Jerry has a tap dancing goose. Sounds like he should go on TV with that. It's really something to say. Yeah, those geese are pretty heavy. I can imagine why they'd be ripping off your gutters.
Also, we try to help you so many times during the year with special landing pages on our website. We've got one really set up for you right now that you can go and check out, because it's Heat Your Home Week here at Today's Homeowner, brought to you by our friends at American Standard. Colder weather is upon us, and it's time to start thinking about preparing your home so you can stay cozy while keeping those winter heating bills under control. And we put together a collection of our best how-to videos, simple solutions, and insider tricks for maintaining your heating system this winter, keeping your home warm and your energy bill in check all winter long. All you have to do is head on over to todayshomeowner.com/heatyourhome and check it out to get today. Again, special thanks to our friends at American Standard Heating for sponsoring Heat Your Home Week. Again, you really do need to check out this landing page, todayshomeowner.com/heatyourhome. Hey, when we come back here on Today's Homeowner Radio, we're going to talk about possibly being able to change the look and function of a shower pan that may not look as good as you would like. Can you do it? We'll find out when we come back.
At the Home Depot, we have Black Friday savings all through November. And with that comes a joyful holiday bustle that we just love to hear. Although we also love the sound that comes after the holidays, when people put their new tools to use. In fact, we love it so much. When you buy select Milwaukee M18 kits, you'll get an extra tool for free. So after you're done filling the air with holiday magic, you can fill it with the sounds of doing. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
If you're looking for an extra measure of comfort, convenience, and cleanliness in your bathroom, nothing delivers it all like the SoftSpa electronic bidet toilet seat by FluidMaster. The SoftSpa is a full bidet offering a luxury experience without the expense of replacing your toilet. The SoftSpa features fully adjustable water pressure, temperature, and positioning, as well as a heated seat and warm air dryer. Don't settle for less than luxury in your bathroom. Trust FluidMaster.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner radio show, nationally syndicated all over the country, including this really cool part of the world in North Carolina, Bryson City, WBHNAM 1590. Hello to everybody there in and around that area of North Carolina. We want to hear from you. Pick up the phone right now. Give us a call with any question or comment that you may have. And it's toll free 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 800-946-4420. Or you can send us an email at any time at todayshomeowner.com/ask. Right now, we're going to head, let's see where we're going here. Cape Coral, Florida. Jim's on the line. Jim, welcome to the show and tell us what's going on with this shower that you mentioned.
Yeah, I have a shower fan that I consider to be structurally sound. There's no cracks or chipping, but the tile is dated and it's not very appealing. What I'd like to do is retile, and without going through all the hassle of chipping that out and mixing mortar to, you know, for my substructure, I was just thinking of retiling by using a 100 grit sandpaper and maybe cleaning with mineral spirits and putting down a self-adhesive waterproof membrane without applying thinset. Is that something that's doable? I have researched it, well, extensively, and there have been pros and cons about it, and I'd like your professional opinion.
All right, certainly. A great question, really, Jim, when you think about the area in any home that's going to get the most abuse and show that wear and tear the most would be a shower pan. I mean, you have people standing on it all the time. You've got all kinds of soap deposits and things like that and an excessive amount of water. So now I have seen this done many times. Some showers a little easier to tile over than others. And I've seen it done where they've taken a floor patch compound and basically created a new surface by putting down not even an eighth of an inch, hardly. Basically, you're just kind of smoothing it out. And then I've seen people come back then, which is highly recommended, in using a waterproofer. But instead of a membrane, it's actually a coating called RedGuard. It's a widely used by a lot of professionals and readily available at Home Depot. And then you put the red guard down, usually a couple coats, and then you're ready to apply your tile. In some ways, it's about the best shower pan you're going to get because you've gotten not only the original waterproofing and the tile, now you have another layer and another layer of tile, and of course, using the right grout, making sure that it's a sealed grout that is integrated into the grout, or at least make sure you seal it with a couple coats after that. But Joe, I don't know in your famous tile book that is so popular that so many people go back to and referencing for a lot of tile projects, I don't know if you even touched on that particular subject or not.
We did not. And Jim, the reason is it's not always the best option. Most professionals kind of steer you away from laying tile on tile because in most cases, there's a problem with the tile and they don't want to, you know, just tile over it. In your case, you know, if the tile is, as you said, structurally sound, it's not leaking, you know. So technically, can you tile over tile? Yes, if the existing surface, the existing tile is solid and level and perfectly clean, free of cracks, no crumbling grout, that kind of thing. So yeah, you can do it. You had asked in your question, can you do it without thinset? And I would say no. You're going to have to, if you don't use thinset, you have to use tile adhesive. That's recommended for shower pans. But you would have to smooth out the joints, the grout, the existing grout joints. So, you know, filling them in and then putting down, rolling or brushing down the waterproofing membrane, and then using whatever adhesive, you know, recommended by a tile manufacturer. And I also, Jim, recommend using tile slightly bigger than the tiles that are there now, because you do want to bridge any of the grout joints, as many as the old grout joints as you can. So that's the only thing I would recommend.
Well, right now there's what I call a penny tile.
Right. Very small. Good.
Yeah. And I'm going to a pebble stone tile.
Okay. A little bigger, not much bigger, but a little bigger. And pebble stone tiles usually have pretty wide grout joints compared to, you know, manufactured square tiles.
Correct.
So be sure to use the very best grout you can find. Check out Custom Building Products. They have a whole bunch of grouts, and they would probably have one specifically designed that they would recommend for the stone tile. Those stone tiles are cool too, right? I mean, they look great on walls, on floors. I've not installed them myself, but I've seen plenty of them in there. They're really great looking.
Danny, I guess this is your question. Does Titebond make a waterproof adhesive?
Yes, they do. They a lot of people don't realize all of their commercial line of materials. So I'd go on TightBond.com and you'll see some of the adhesives. Matter of fact, we used some of the waterproof adhesive on a project not long ago. I was really surprised that more people aren't aware of it. I know the pros use it, but man, it's fantastic. So yeah, no doubt about it.
Well, that's all I use when I lay areas of my LVP.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
There are some areas that I need to cut that lip away, and I use Titebond to make that hearing feature. So I believe in it.
Yeah, you can't go wrong. It's a strong trend, you know, using what the pros use has been going on for years, but now more than ever, that more and more people are getting into doing things around their home. They want to make sure that the investment in time and money that they put into it will last a long time. Only makes sense. So sounds like you're on the right track, Jim, and best of luck to you on this shower project. Sounds like it's going to work out really well.
Well, thank you too, guys, for your input. I'm going to go ahead and take that route, and you agree with the 100 grit sanding and cleaning with the mineral spirits?
Yes, 100 grit, or even a little more coarse if you wanted, but no less than 100 grit.
Right. Okay. I think that answers my questions. Thanks so much. I feel confident in going ahead with it.
Our pleasure, Jim. Thanks a lot. Have a great weekend. Hey, I want to switch gears just a little bit here and tell you that we've really had a lot of interest in covering our top five simple solutions in kind of different categories. Joe goes back through over 550 of these things and picks out a few in certain little areas of the home. And we're going to share with you five of those top five ones during this hour of today's Homeowner Radio. And we're talking about workshop tools. Joe, what do you think one of the top five simple solutions in this category would be?
Okay, here's one, and it has to do with using nail polish. And when I first came up with this simple solution and tried it, I was surprised how well it worked. And it has turned out to be one of the most popular ones that we've aired. I mean, we hear from people all the time that have tried this trick, and all you need to do is get some white nail polish, because many tools come with markings that in little graduation markings that are just impossible to read, you know, like wire strippers, many squares have graduations, sockets are stamped with the size of the socket, you know, and it's just impossible to read. So what you want to do is get this white nail polish and you shake it up really well. First of all, that's really important. Shake it really well, then brush it on, and brush it on pretty heavily. You know, it might look a little sloppy when you brush it on. Then you're going to wait a few seconds. You don't want it to harden, obviously, but you want to set up. So you might want to wait, I don't know, 10 or 15 seconds, something like that. Then wipe off the excess. And what you're going to find is that the nail polish will settle into the depression of the markings. And if you go and see the video at todayshomeowner.com/simple solutions, you'll see how clearly these graduations on a square, the little inch graduations on a square and on the socket just popped, where before they're virtually undetectable. So that's all you need to do. Put on a little nail polish, wipe it off, let it dry, and you're ready to go.
And boy, when you're talking about, you know, situations that you might be out working on a project under a vanity, sometimes you just don't have a lot of light. And that is really frustrating when you're trying to read those numbers and fractions and so forth. And,
right.
And I've seen this used on a speed square and works really, really well. Just to highlight that, it seems like tool manufacturers would grab this idea, because I would think that doing that as part of the manufacturing process would not be that hard. But it would really separate their tools from the rest of the tools, just make it more readable, because as we get older, it's a little more of a challenge to read and so forth. And I think tool manufacturers should grab this idea.
Yeah, they should just sell it with a bottle of nail polish.
There we go.
If they don't want to highlight it for us, at least give us the nail polish. And by the way, if you keep that nail polish in the shop, you'd be surprised how many uses you find for it. I use it for marking little dots on pieces of metal that no, you know, marker or pencil or pen would leave a mark that you could read. So you can just brush on a little white nail polish.
And Joe, I'll have to say your nails have never looked better.
Thank you, Dan.
Okay, we're going to take a short break right now. When we come back, we're going to talk about something I'm not sure we've ever had a question about: installing flooring over existing asphalt. Can it be done? We're going to explore it a little bit and also tackle more of the top five simple solutions in workshop tools. You're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by Tight Bond, the pro's advantage.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show, where it's time for our best new product segment brought to you by the Home Depot, how doers get more done. You know, everybody loves the look of real wood flooring, but real wood can easily be damaged even with the best finish. So this lifetime waterproof, high-traffic, luxury vinyl plank flooring is designed to give you the look you want while it stands up to the bumps and scrapes of life. These vinyl planks have a 22 millimeter wear layer and a proprietary acrylic top coat that makes them ultra scratch resistant, stain resistant, and mold and mildew resistant. Their rigid core makes them dent resistant and helps hide subfloor imperfection. It's fully waterproof, and the pre-attached underlayment makes sure they're nice and warm, comfortable, and quiet underfoot, while it makes the installation easier as well. Plus, they're backed by a lifetime residential warranty. So to check out this life-proof, waterproof, high-traffic luxury vinyl tile, head on over to Home Depot or homedepot.com. I'll tell you, the vinyl floors, everywhere I'm traveling, I'm right now live from Zion National Park out in Utah, and Joe and I were talking off the air, and boy, the vinyl, matter of fact, I'm looking down right now, the floor is a vinyl, luxury vinyl tile. It's got to be the most popular floor that's out there right now, Joe.
It is, and I wonder what market they're eating into, and I think it's probably the laminate market, the plastic laminate flooring you're probably seeing less and less of, and more of this vinyl. And I don't see it stopping anytime soon either.
No, I don't think so at all. Wait, I'll tell you what, Zion National Park, going out to Bryce Canyon, hiking around, certainly a beautiful, beautiful part of the country, but I'll tell you where rivals just about any place in the world is British Columbia. I've had a lot of time up in there, hiking around, driving around, and so forth. And that's where our next caller, Peter, lives. Peter, you're living in a great area of the world.
Living in the oasis of Canada.
That's right.
Good for you.
Well, tell us about this project. This is very unique. I'm not sure we've ever actually had a question like that. So give us an idea of what you're thinking about there at your home.
Well, I've got like a carport beside the house. They put asphalt down, and I put a deck above it. Now my wife wants me to enclose this, to have an enclosed deck, and I'm just wondering if on the asphalt, which is painted, if I could glue down your vinyl planking flooring or something.
Okay, so the currently the wood deck is built over this asphalt?
Yes. It's not over it, it's the roof, like
above. Oh, I got you. Yeah. Okay, I'm with you. All right.
So the deck is the second story.
Well, I'll tell you what, one thing about asphalt that I found over the years, that it is so different in different areas of the country. It was funny, we were just commenting as we were driving through Zion National Park, all of the asphalt is red. And I don't know if they intentionally colored it that. I assume they did. And it looks fantastic with all of the red colors all around in the mountains and so forth. But some asphalt will be a lot more porous. and a lot more coarse than others. But I would, and also it's affected thermally a lot more than concrete, because when it gets, you know, pretty warm, it's going to get soft. When it gets really cold, you know, it's going to tighten up a little bit more. So it moves and the flexibility of it a little bit, which would make me think that it would not be suitable. And I would guess, Joe, if you'll chime in on this one, I would guess in the luxury vinyl tile warranty guidelines that they would not recommend this particular installation.
Yeah, that'd be the first thing to check, Peter, is what the manufacturer would recommend. And it would probably be different from one manufacturer to the other. And the other thing with asphalt is, as opposed to concrete or any other subfloor, it's not perfectly flat. Sometimes, you know, it has a little bit of undulation in it, and moisture can get through it a little more easily. And one of the most important part of any vinyl floor installation is the moisture barrier. So you'd have to make sure that you put down a moisture barrier, especially if it's recommended by the manufacturer. And vinyl flooring can be put down in heated and unheated spaces, so that shouldn't be an issue. But I think the moisture would be the bigger thing. So the moisture barrier could be polyethylene film or craft paper or asphalt coated paper. I'm not sure what the manufacturer would recommend. Even if there is a moisture barrier on the back of the planks, on the underside of the planks, you might still have to put something else down. And you had asked in your question, can you adhere it down, glue it down? I would not recommend that. I would recommend a floating system where the floors, the planks snap together and they're not actually fastened down in any manner. How you would trim out around there, I'm not really sure, because you don't have walls around it, I suspect. Now, you're not going to be driving in there. This is just going to be open as just a space for you to gather indoors, more or less. Is that right?
Yeah. What she wants to do is put a pony wall and patio doors, and then a screen on top that I can insert windows in, so we can
season
kind of use it.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So we'll be enclosed for the most part, but regardless, even if this was some indoor space that was, you know, had an unusual subfloor, I would say you have to absolutely check with the manufacturer. And see what they say. They might say it's fine as long as you put down the right moisture barrier. It might be all they recommend.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I'd hate to tell you to do something that voids a warranty.
So is there any recommendation of anything else I could put on there that you'd know?
No, not for asphalt. I'm not really sure. The manufacturer would be able to recommend something. I'd hate to tell you to do something and then put down the floor and find it fails, because without the proper moisture barrier, the flooring can become discolored or warped and come apart. So, you know, I just would rather not take a chance of just guessing at it.
Either that or jackhammer it out and pour concrete in.
Certainly that's a foolproof way of doing it. And some of the pavers that are available that are only, you know, 2 inches thick, so that it doesn't, you know, take up a lot of the room there, you might consider that as well. You could go with some 16 by 16, probably just a little bit of sand to kind of level it out just right. That may also be an alternative, because then you can come back and stain or seal those for a more finished look.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Peter, the only other thing I just recommend is they do make flooring that comes in large mats. They just roll out and either glue down or just, you know, I think they get glued down around a perimeter maybe, you know, kind of like you might find in a dance studio or a gym or something like that. They're not thick, though. They're thin rubber. They're made for garages as well. It's not as nice a look because it's more industrial, but that's another option.
Yeah, it's just that my wife the asphalt is just, you know, she doesn't like the look of asphalt.
Job has a foreman, I understand.
Yeah. Okay. I think you guys answered my question.
Good. Well, I appreciate it, and enjoy the winter there in British Columbia, and I hope to see you up there hiking sometime.
You sounds great.
Okay, Peter. You take care. Appreciate you being a part of the show. The kind of interesting idea there with possibly putting flooring down on top of asphalt. That's a tricky one. Hey, coming up, we're going to be covering more of the workshop tools, part of our simple top five simple solutions that we're sharing with you on this week's show. You're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio. We'll be right back.
As temperatures turn cooler this fall and winter, be prepared to keep the cold where it belongs, outside your home. To help ward off the chill without breaking the bank, Today's Homeowner and American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning are kicking off Heat Your Home Week. We've created a collection of our best how-to videos, simple solutions, and insider tips to keep your home toasty and your family comfortable all season long. Head on over to todayshomeowner.com/heatyourhome and check it out today.
If you're looking for a simple, inexpensive way to upgrade your kitchen, try the new LuxRock Solid Surface Granite Countertop Kit from Deitch Coatings. It's an easy four-step process that you can do yourself to give your counters authentic granite elegance in just a weekend. And because it's formulated with real stone, this revolutionary product resists stains, heat, and impact to deliver a high-end appearance with smooth richness that rivals a professional granite installation at a fraction of the cost. Find LuxRock online at the Home Depot or at DeitchCoatings.com. Is your concrete driveway, sidewalk, or patio looking old and worn? Time and exposure to the elements can cause concrete to flake, discolor, or just look dull. Now you can easily renew your concrete surfaces with Quikrete Recap Concrete Resurfacer at a fraction of the cost of replacing it, and you can do it yourself. Quikrete Recap will give you a durable new finish that will last for years. For more information on Recap, visit Quikrete.com. Quikrete, what America's made of.
Transform your kitchen or bathroom with a beautifully tiled backsplash all by yourself in as fast as one day with Simple Mat from Custom Building Products. Simple Mat is a unique double-sided adhesive mat designed to bond tile to backsplashes or countertops. There's no mixing of powder, no mess to clean up, and no waiting for the mortar to harden. Simply set the tile onto the mat, then grout. It's the quickest, easiest, cleanest way to install tile. Visit thesimplemat.com for more information. Available exclusively at the Home Depot. Take today's homeowner with you wherever you go with our popular podcast channel. Listen to our daily tips for today's homeowner. Get answers to your most common questions with our Ask Danny podcast. Or catch up on past episodes of the Today's Homeowner radio show. They're all designed to help you find solutions that work for your home. And they're available on demand on our Today's Homeowner podcast channel. Just search Today's Homeowner podcast on your favorite app and listen today.
Could your backyard use a makeover? You can create beautiful outdoor living spaces with Rumblestone from Pavestone. Create a paver patio or walkway, garden retaining wall, grill enclosure, fire pit, or even an outdoor kitchen. These rustic building blocks make it easy and they look great. Rumblestone from Pavestone is available at the Home Depot. And be sure to check out the project ideas and how-to videos at pavestone.com. That's pavestone.com.
Today's homeowner is brought to you by Deitch Coatings. Easily roll on your new stone countertop, garage floor, and more in just a weekend with Deitch.
And welcome back to the show. This week, we're covering our top five simple solutions about workshop tools. Simple Solutions, as you know, has been part of the Today's Homeowner brand for many, many years, and people really appreciate these bite-sized pieces of information. Joe, we've already covered one of them. What's up on number two here?
All right, number two is how to use a cordless drill, which pretty much every DIYer owns, I suspect, these days. How to use a cordless drill to drive screws without splitting the wood. It's virtually impossible if you don't take these steps, these little simple solutions to prevent the wood from splitting. This is especially important when driving a screw near the edge of a board or near the end of a board. And so here's how to prevent that from happening. What you need to do is first drill, most people call it a pilot hole, but it's really a screw shank clearance hole. You want to drill a hole through the top board that's approximately the same diameter as the shank of the screw where the threaded part is. And then on top of that, you want to drill either a countersink or a counterbore. For those who aren't familiar, the only difference is a countersink, the screw head is perfectly flush with the top of the surface. And a counterbore, it's driven down a little bit, usually, you know, maybe eighth inch to a quarter inch down. So here's what you need to do. You can buy a reversible drill driver bit. I think some of the manufacturers call it like a flip bit. And basically, it's a drill bit that has two sides to it. It's got a driver bit, meaning a Phillips head bit on one end, and then it has a drill bit on the other end. And the drill bit allows you to drill the screw shank pilot hole or screw shank hole and the counter bore or countersink. And so you drill that first, then you drive in the screw with no fear of splitting it. And if you go to todayshomeowner.com/simple solutions, you can see a video of me demonstrating this. And it's pretty dramatic because I drive a screw without doing any of that and it splits almost instantly.
Yeah, boy, that's something that you think about projects that you've done in the past that have been very frustrating. And one of those things, gee, I wish I had known. That's exactly
right.
Simple solution is all about. We'll go with another one, Joe. I'm enjoying this.
Oh, great. Okay, here's how to collect sawdust from a miter saw. I bought a new wet dry vacuum, and I bought it specifically so I could attach it to my powered miter saw, because that thing creates a cloud of dust, even the simplest cut. If you're not sure how much dust comes out of it, stand behind one day when someone's making a cut. You'll get completely showered with dust. So anyway, I bought this wet dry vac, but the hose didn't fit. It was too large. And it didn't have a tight fit on the back of the saw, the port on the back of the saw. And while they do make plastic adapters that reduce or enlarge the opening to fit the hose, I decided to just use an old bicycle inner tube. I took a pair of scissors, I cut a section about 3 or 4 inches long, and I just slipped it on. It fits really tightly on the port on the back of the saw, and it fits really tightly on the hose coming off the vacuum, and it's nice and flexible. It fits so tight, it's not going to pull off, which is also an issue. Then you just flip on the vacuum, and there you go. How to collect dust using the inner tube, a little section of the inner tube.
And if you have that set up like that, that makes it very, very easy when you're breaking out your saw to be able to hook that right up. And
yep.
You know, if you have those things kind of handy and hanging close by, you'll end up using it a lot more. Joe, I think we have time for one more if you have another one for us.
Yeah, sure. Here's how to make a cross-cut guide for your circular saw. A circular saw is a great way to make perfectly square, straight cross-cuts in lumber or plywood. But, you know, if you're not using a guide, and sometimes it's hard to keep, especially if you're not experienced, hard to keep the blade perfectly straight. So to make the cross-cut guide for your circular saw, all you need is a length of 1x4, probably about 18 inches long or so, and then a piece of half-inch plywood that's about 3 or 4 inches by 16 inches long. What you can do is glue and screw these two pieces together to form a perfect 90-degree angle. So use a square. Make sure they're perfectly 90 degrees because you want a nice square cut. And then what you're going to do is the fence, which is the 1x4, you want to run the saw along that edge before you make a cut on a piece of wood. You run it along that edge, and you trim off the end of the plywood. So now you know that the blade cuts right even with the edge of that plywood piece. And so when you go to make your mark, you just have to make the mark on the board and align the plywood with the mark, clamp it in place, or just hold it in place. You don't always have to clamp it. And you just run your saw along the fence, the 1x4 fence, and it cuts right off the edge of that plywood, so you know that it's right on the mark and is perfectly straight every time because you've set it up at exactly 90 degrees.
Oh, Joe, these are making me want to get out in the workshop a little bit, which is kind of fun when it gets a little colder. You know, you're not able,
sure,
or you know, you don't feel like getting out and doing things out in the yard. But boy, to get in that shop, turn the radio on, and you know, have the little bit of a little heating going on there.
Sure, yeah.
Man, you can lose a lot of time in there very quickly. And, you know, I think about, matter of fact, I have 3 or 4 little small projects, you know,
right,
repairing this picture that broke, the corner broke off. I have it sitting there. And a lot of little things I've just kind of set up in there. I said, I'll get to that. There's no rush
right
on that.
Yeah.
And but, you know, one of those cold weather days, you know, it's a perfect thing to do that. So we're covering a lot of simple solutions. And if you weren't able to write all of that down, or all you have to do is go to todayshomeowner.com/simple solutions. And coming up, Joe has 2 more for us, 1 brand new one and 1 for to finish off our top 5. All of that and a whole lot more coming up here on Today's Homeowner Radio.
Got a project? Tight bond wood glues are preferred by pro woodworkers more than 7 to 1. Why? Because Tight Bond is professional strength, even stronger than the wood itself. Tight Bond is versatile, perfect for interior and exterior woodworking, and the best choice for home repairs. Tight Bond is tough and durable, outlasting extreme weather conditions and conquering demanding projects. Tight Bond Wood Glues, the trusted choice for the pro in you.
Hi, Danny and Chelsea here.
If you're an explorer, we want to invite you to make our home, Mobile, Alabama, your next adventure.
Explore the great outdoors on America's Amazon, the Mobile Tensaw River Delta.
Explore science and technology with the whole family at the Explorium Science Center.
Explore fantastic cuisine at unique restaurants throughout the city.
Explore our history in museums, forts, and sites like Battleship Memorial Park.
Plan your next adventure on the Gulf Coast at mobile.org.
Got a project? Tight Bond sealants are the toughest in the industry, trusted by builders and contractors for reliability and durability. Our weather-resistant formulas stand up to extreme conditions. With extensive color matching availability and exceptional adhesion, they're versatile for any exterior use. No matter the job, count on high performance for best-in-class results. Tight Bond sealants, the trusted choice for the pro in you.
At the Home Depot, we have Black Friday savings all through November. And with that comes a joyful holiday bustle that we just love to hear. Although we also love the sound that comes after the holidays, when people put their new tools to use. In fact, we love it so much. When you buy select Milwaukee M18 kits, you'll get an extra tool for free. So after you're done filling the air with holiday magic, you can fill it with the sounds of doing. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by Duck Brand Weatherization Products.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show, where it's time for our simple solution. And this week, you get two. One to finish out our top five simple solutions in workshop tools, and another brand new. And Joe, what do you have for us? All yours.
All right, Dan, thank you. This is how to use a circular saw to cut plywood safely. It's one of the most popular uses for a circular saw, right? Cutting down large sheets of plywood. And the way most people do it is they set two 2x4s on a pair of saw horses, they put the plywood on top, and they make the rip cut or cross cut. But usually it's a rip cut, meaning the length of the plywood. But the problem with using only two 2x4s is as you're making the cut, the plywood will start to sag in the middle, and it'll pinch the saw blade, and that can create a dangerous kickback situation. So you definitely want to avoid that. So the simple solution is don't use two 2x4s, use four 2x4s. You want two on the outer edges, then two very close to the cut line. Wherever the cut line is, put like one to the left of it, one to the right of it. And what happens now is as you make that cut, each half of the plywood is supported by two 2x4s. So there's no way it can pinch the blade and cause any kickback. So that's a simple solution. Use four 2x4s when ripping a sheet of plywood.
Boy, that can be dangerous when you get that plywood starting to fall off and it pinches and suddenly you're kind of stretched out there a little bit. Always make sure, whether you're on a ladder, whether you're behind some sawhorses, wherever, just make sure you don't reach out too much. That's where a lot of people can get in trouble. All right, that's our top five workshop tools and tips from our Simple Solutions. Joe, now I understand you have another one for us.
I've been using this one for, I think my dad first showed me this, you know, many, many years ago, so I've been using it for decades. And it's how to make interchangeable liners for your nail apron or your tool pouch, depending on what you're wearing. And you're going to make it out of 1-quart plastic motor oil bottles. You know, those are kind of rectangular motor oil bottles. What you want to do is to cut off the spout and wipe the bottle really clean. So you end up with this rectangular, wide mouth, rectangular plastic bottle, for lack of a better word. And then you can fill them with screws and nails. And I have maybe, I don't know, right now I might have 8 or 10 of them in my shop. And what you do is when you need a particular size screw or nail, you just pull out this bottle and it fits perfectly into the pocket of the tool pouch, tool belt, or nail apron. And so you can, when you go to work, you got those screws right there. And then when you want to switch to another screw size or nail size, you don't have to dump out your apron and then put them in and then fill it up again. You just slide out the interchangeable liners, pull out the liner, put it back on the shelf and grab the next size. So you're not constantly filling in and emptying and filling and emptying a nail apron, which is no fun.
No, not at all. Great simple solution. And again, todayshomeowner.com/simple solutions, for you can see that one on video and over 550 other ones. Also, while you're there, find out where you can see the Today's Homeowner television show in your area. We've got a brand new episode, part of our 25th season. It's called Front Porch Update. A number of different small projects that we put together here, including using Quikrete's Walkmaker. If you haven't seen this, you need to check it out. It can make an amazing sidewalk one step at a time. Very, very easy to work at along those lines. Also, we've done a lot of repairs. If you got some damaged wood outside your home, we have several different scenarios here that we had to repair in order for all of the work to be painted. So check it out by going to todayshomeowner.com/view. And you'll be able to see where you can find the Today's Homeowner television show in your area. I also want to remind you that it is Heat Your Home Week, and you really need to, while you're at todayshomeowner.com, so much information there, but go to todayshomeowner.com/heat-your-home. There's a lot of great tips and a lot of low-cost, no-cost ways that you can really drive the cost of your energy bill down this week. I'm so thankful for our partners at American Standard Heating for sponsoring Heat Your Home Week. We've aggregated so many videos and simple solutions and some really cool insider tricks to help you maintain your heating system so that you can keep your home warm and those energy bills in check. Again, big thanks to our friends at American Standard Heating. Well, that pretty much wraps up the first hour of today's Homeowner Radio. I'm Danny Lipford, along with my buddy Joe Truini. Thanks so much for spending some time with us during your busy weekend.